There you go.
Hey, Chip, you said after yesterday's game you wanted to look at the film before assessing Nick's mechanics. Why is he throwing off his back foot so much? Why are there so many really...
I think sometimes when it happens, there's a rush, and he's trying to slide to the right or slide to the left, not setting his feet when he slides, you know, in terms of staying on top of it and staying in a good platform to throw the ball. You know, that's one of the things you look at with some of the movement stuff within the pocket where he's got to be a little bit firmer with his feet.
How big a fix is that?
I think it's fixable. You know, it's just a matter of drill work, fundamentals, do a lot of movement drills. Bill does a really nice job with him from that standpoint. We just got to get him to where he's real comfortable in there. And, you know, sometimes guys are coming clean or coming off at times that you didn't expect. It may have been a three technique to beat the guard, so he's got a slide step. You know, usually you kind of understand that when there's a blitz coming, you know where the unblocked guy is coming from. But sometimes when you think it's going to be solid, but you feel a little bit of pressure and you're stepping to your right or to your left, you just need to do a little bit better job of getting your feet set before you throw the football.
His numbers were much better in the play action than not in the play action. Why do you think that was?
Well, I think sometimes it gets the linebackers to play a different drop in terms of, you know, what you're doing. Are you affecting guys that have dual responsibilities? Are they worried about the run? And when they do worry about the run, they step up. And then all of a sudden you get bigger throwing lanes to throw the ball into. We had a, you know, key play like that coming out from our own end. The pass we hit Jeremy with, you know, he's really pretty clean, but it was off a play action pass. So.
You used a lot more of Celek and Casey than previous weeks. Was that to balance what they were doing in terms of a lot of base defense, or did you feel it was necessary to get the running game going?
Just one of our run packages consisted of those two guys in there, and that's what we were featuring a lot towards the end of the game.
Chip, why did Shady take himself out of the game at that point? We're not used to seeing him take himself out of a game.
I think he does that a lot. I just think people are looking at that situation and say it was a different situation. But when he has a couple carries, he's comfortable, I think, and I think we're all comfortable that if he comes out and Darren goes in, I don't change play calling wise. We don't change anything we're doing. So I don't think it was a big deal. When he knows he needs a rest, he comes out for a play or two, and you know Darren goes in, and then we roll. So it's not a, you know, I think he feels comfortable in terms of that the guy behind him, there's not going to be a drop off. You know, obviously I think Darren had 7 carries for 50 something yards, so there wasn't a drop off when Darren went in the game. So
what you mentioned with Nick's feet, was he not getting that type of pressure last year, or was he reacting differently last year to it?
I don't think we got as much pressure last year, to be honest with you, but you know, I still think it's a combination of things. Sometimes it's just little fundamental things, and we all got to go back to work, and I think he understands that.
Is there ways to get Sproles on the field more? I know it's dependent upon what defenses are doing, but I think he was only out there for 20 of 73.
Yeah, but if we take LeSean out of the game, every once in a while, LeSean's not in the game. So, you know, being a one-back offense, you got to pick your poison in terms of what you're doing. We feel like we need both backs, so... You know, we need both of them to play a lot, and it's not like both of those guys can be a lead back either. So it's not like you can run a two-back offense where LeSean's the lead blocker for Darren or Darren's the lead blocker for LeSean. So that's, you know, that's just not the way the two of those guys are built. So we're still really, with the two of those guys, we're a one-back offense. So
why has Darren been so much more productive with his carries than LeSean has running the ball?
You got to look at the individual carries to kind of make a decision on that, I think. You know, sometimes it's blocked up a little bit better and there's a little bit bigger hole for him to hit. He's got a knack, though, of understanding. He's a real smart football player, and I said it since the day we got him here, that he really is a talented, talented running back and has great vision and has a great understanding of what we're doing from a blocking scheme standpoint. So he understands what we're doing, you know, and I think that was one of the things that surprised me even when we first got him is just what a really talented running back he is. So I think he's just taking advantage of the time he gets in there.
Do you notice that he kind of, like, hits the hole, like, right away?
I notice a lot of people don't see him, you know, and I see him coming out the other side. I think there's some advantages to how he plays the game and how he fits in terms of how we run the ball. So,
Chip, I think part of the question when LeSean had 3 plays off, the third one was after a timeout. So that creates some wonder on my part. I know, you know, he even had a timeout and he didn't get one on the third play.
Yeah, we didn't. Again, I'm not. We had a timeout. We're just calling a play and going. So I'm not concerned with who the running back is, and I don't sit there and say, hey, how come this guy isn't in or this guy isn't in? You go back to the first question, why isn't Darren in the game more? So they're both playing very well. They're both running the ball very well. So either one of them at that point in time in the game is, I'm happy with both those guys in the game. So
you said Deuce rotates. So at that point, it was pretty much Deuce that decided.
It didn't even come up, to be honest with you, Howard. So it wasn't a, how come one guy's in, one guy's not in? There's never a time that I've been here in the 5 games or 4 games that we played this season that would have been, why is Darren in and why isn't LeSean in, or why is LeSean in, why isn't Darren in? It's just one of those guys are in, and both of them are really good backs. So, And again, our play calling doesn't change. Well, he's in the game, let's run it this way. Or he's in the game, let's run it that way. They're both the same type of back in terms of what we're doing. So.
Do you have any update on D'Amico Ryans?
I don't talk to those guys till after this meeting today.
Would availability change have maybe handled Michael based on his situation?
Again, I haven't talked to those guys. So it's pure speculation in terms of anything, so it doesn't help to do that. So when I get that information, we'll get it to you.
A couple of players said the Rams showed different looks against the run than maybe what they showed on tape. Did you see that, and what were some of those?
Yeah, they played a little bit more man than I think anybody we had played going into the game. You know, in the we had seen, it's interesting, in the other game, San Francisco played us almost exclusively in zone. Jacksonville played us exclusively in zone. The Colts and the Redskins played us half and half, and then they played a lot more man than anybody we played. But that was just the only difference going into it, and they hadn't shown a ton. They were probably 50-50 going into the game, and they just showed a little bit more man going into the game.
Did they stay in base more than usual?
I mean, they rotated in and out just like they did in their other games. You know, there was a fair amount of nickel in there when Joyner was in the game. So I think a lot of it was we were in a lot more two tight ends at times, especially when you're up 34-7 and you're running the ball a little bit more than you are throwing the ball. You know what I mean? You're kind of play calling and things like that change a little bit when you had a lead such like we had. We didn't want to just always just turn the ball over real quick to him. So.
You had a little more success in your inside zone reads in this game.
We don't run inside zone read as much as you think we run inside zone read.
I said the very reads. I said plural because I know that you do.
We run a lot of inside zone, but there's not a whole lot of reading going on. So we're blocking edges, so the ball's just being handed off. So
would you like to do more read?
It depends on how people are defending you. You know, a lot of it has to do with a lot of different components. But our goal is to always get the ball in our running back's hands. So, you know, those are the guys that we're paying to run. Those are guys we want running. So.
This kickoff return going to be impacted if you're not healthy there? Would you consider moving Huff back in there?
Yeah, Huff would be back there, or Nolan would be back there. We've got a bunch of guys that can return. Darren can go back there. Boykin can go back there. Brad Smith has been back there, so not a real big concern. Right now, we didn't get any opportunities to really return any, except when we thought they were in an onside situation, and then, you know, down three scores with just going into the fourth quarter. We had our hands team out there. That was the only chance we had to return it. And we knew with Zuerlein that he's got such a strong leg, it was going to be a tough day, tough sledding in terms of returning, because you just got such a strong leg, you're going to get a lot more touchbacks.
You know, the lack of turnover pace from last year is difficult to maintain. The ones you see this year, are they normal, correctable things, or are they at the point where it's concerning or alarming?
I think so. You know, the one he threw, I think it was a lower flat ball. It should have been higher and outside, and he'll probably tell you that. Probably should have thrown on the first hitch instead of the second hitch. But, you know, he had one. You know, one is too many, and he'll be the first to tell you that. But I don't see him throwing the ball in harm's way very often. So
the 5-5 games, that's not a number that jumps out at you.
No.
Now that you've looked at the tape, is it, you know, the things that are going wrong on offense, do you see it as a quick fix as far as the?
No, I don't see anything as a quick fix. I think everything is just is. We have to continue to just go to work. You're playing with a different combination. Lane's first game back, so now he's next to Todd. Tobin in there for the second game. You know, I think you got a couple different guys up front getting used to each other. There were some communication issues, not many, but a couple communication issues where we fanned where we shouldn't have fanned and we should have kept it inside. There was one time we jumped off sides because the center didn't snap the ball in time because he was recorrecting the point. You know, things that didn't happen when Jason was in there. So there's little teeny things along there, but I don't think there's not just one magic quick fix where you walk into the staff room and say, hey guys, if we do this, then everything's straight. You know, we just got to continue to work on it and get better. You know, the positive is that we're working from a situation where we're 4-1 trying to get better. But as I said yesterday, 4-1, 1-4 doesn't mean that you don't address the problems that you have. And we're still not consistent on the offensive side of the ball as we want to be. So
is that a weird position to be in, the fact that your record is so good and yet the offense has deficiencies compared to last year? Is it?
No, I don't think it's strange. I think, you know, we've got our defense, I think, you know, really yesterday I thought for three quarters played outstanding. You know, I think we're getting really good play out of our special teams, and I think it takes all three phases to win a game in this league, and I think we're getting really good play on our defense right now and our special teams right now. We just need to be more consistent from an offensive standpoint.
Are you seeing the improvement you want to see from both week to week from when Jason got hurt as he's played more and more?
Say that one. I love it.
Are you seeing the improvement you want to see from Volk since Jason got hurt?
Yeah, I think he's gotten better. I mean, it's a second game playing, so it's you know, sometimes obviously he doesn't have the wealth of experience that Jason had at the position where had such a great command of doing everything. But I thought Volk's really held his own in there. So
Is it the scheme or just the players with the punt blocks?
I think it's a combination of both. I think Phipp and Matt Harper do a really good job of scheming things up in that game, but in the punt game itself. But you got some guys in there that are really going after it. You know, James Casey's been an outstanding special teams four-core player for us for 2 years here, and I think really gone unnoticed for a while. I think he's getting his due. Trey Burton has really stepped it up and has been a huge addition for us. And you know, the ball actually, I think, kind of came under James's armpit, and then Burton's hand was on the other side of it. So, but we also got some push from Brayman on that side. Maragos is in there, so we got – you know, we got a lot of guys that take a lot of pride in being special teams players. There's our core special teams unit is a bunch of guys that really take a lot of pride and understand the impact that they can have on a game, and it's showing out there.
Really watching the corners on tape, is there any thought to making a change on the outside?
No, I mean, if you look at it, I think for three quarters we played really well on defense, and then in the fourth quarter we didn't play well. But in the fourth quarter we had 26 snaps. Brandon Boykin was in on all 26 snaps, and 21 of those snaps Nolan Carroll was in because we were in dime. So all of our corners were in. They're on the field. So, you know, I think our guys are there. They just got to do a better job of making a play on the ball. You know, you look at the one fade stop that probably the one route that's going to beat you on the one with Kerry in the end zone is that we're in a zero blitz. He's got to take away the inside. He plays over the top because the kid's running to the fade, and the quarterback makes a nice throw to the back shoulder. So, you know, sometimes you got to give them credit. But I think the questions about Boykin, and Boykin, we had 26 snaps in the fourth quarter. Boykin was in for 26 snaps in the fourth quarter. So, you know, if we're putting Boykin out wide, then we got to – now what are we going to do? Who are we going to play at nickel? You know, and I think some of that also is what's going on at linebacker. With D'Amico down, we really only had one healthy linebacker, so we're in a lot more dime at that point in time. So are we going to take Boykin, throw him out of corner, and then take one of the corners out of the game and then bring another linebacker in? Then you're going to expose yourself in some different areas. So
early in the fourth quarter, you guys had like two possessions. Would you have liked to see the play clock go down a little bit, like under 10 seconds before snapping the ball?
We're still trying to stay in rhythm at that point in time. I think at the beginning of the fourth quarter, because there's still a lot of time on the clock. You know, we weren't in full four-minute mode at that point in time. And we actually did move the ball. We had with 12 minutes and I think 48 seconds on the clock, Nick scrambles for the first down and then we fumble. So, you know, you're not really thinking at that point in time that we're going to, you know, we're trying to take it down to one and be in a four-minute offense when you still got 12 minutes to go in the game. So
What about the next?
We were working it in similar situations.
In practice, how many periods, how much time is allocated to special teams?
Depends on the day, you know, but at least two every day.
I know this is your first stop in the NFL, but is that more than what's done elsewhere from the coaches you've spoken to?
I didn't really spoken to them about how much time they spend on special teams, so I can't answer that question for you. I'm not being evasive. I just didn't ask. I've never asked them, like, how much time do you spend? That's, you know, we were really good at teams when I was at Oregon. We spent a lot of time in them, and I believe the same thing here. I think especially in this league where everything's so close. There's never, very, very rarely are there blowouts anywhere. You know, it's the game is usually coming down to a possession or two. Is, you know, the hidden yardage that can be found in the special teams game is something that I think is you need to address, because it's the one play where you can drastically change field position one way or another, whether it be with a good return or whether it be with, you know, a great cover. You know, I mean, you can flip the field in this league, and it's so hard to gain yards in this league that I think it's to us it was just it just makes sense to spend a lot of time on teams and to make sure that you can get as any advantage you can from a special team standpoint.
The fact that you intersperse them throughout practice unique?
I don't know. I literally haven't talked to anybody about what their special teams deal is. You know, this is just, you know, the format for our practice is the same way. Yeah, but when I went down there, I'm talking offense. So I watched Seattle practice before, but I never sat there and said, hey, one of their special teams integrated, because I wasn't going there thinking about special teams. So I'm not being evasive. I just never really asked anybody when they practice it. Some people practice it at the beginning of practice. Some people practice at the end of practice. You know, there's a million different theories. I just know our practice format is what we set up when we were at Oregon. We're very, very similar to what we did there. And that's the way we felt is the best way to do it. And it's the one – I shouldn't say it's the best way. It's the one I'm the most comfortable doing. That's the best way for me to say it.
Do you feel like fatigue has been a factor at all on defense down the stretch?
No, I don't. I mean, they had 76 plays. We had 70 plays on offense. So, you know, I think we were both on the field about the same amount of time. You know, I know you guys always look to time of possession is different, but if they're standing in a huddle, I don't know how that fatigues anybody. You know, now if they're running 90 plays and we're running 50 plays, then that's a big problem. It's always plays run to me, and that's the way I look at it. But because someone huddles and someone doesn't huddle, that I don't think that's the big number to look at the time of possession, but it's the play differential that's the big thing, you know. And obviously, when we lost to San Francisco, we didn't have the ball very much offensively, and that's on our offense and not getting enough first downs. And San Francisco did have the ball, you know. So it's a combination of our offense and getting more first downs because we want to get more plays.
What did you see from Casey Matthews yesterday and in these last few games where he's played a lot? How's he played?
I think yesterday specifically, Casey played well. Casey did a really nice job. He got a little bit more snaps. Usually we're splitting snaps between him and Och, but Och got the wing knocked out of him, so he missed a few in there. But I thought Casey, as you would hope, the more experience, the more plays he's gotten out there, I think the better he's gotten. He's got a real good understanding. He's got a really, really good football mind. He's in position to make plays. We know what he can do. He's an in-the-box type guy. And Billy's done a really good job of trying to put him in position to make those plays. I mean, I think if we ever have to get Casey in a situation where we're splitting him out and he's got to cover a slot or things like that, that's not his strength. His strength is, you know, playing between tackle and tackle, key and diagnosing plays and making tackles. And I think you've seen him improve with the extended playing time he's gotten. So we've been happy with what Casey's been doing so far. So
we're outside backers with the cornerbacks when they have guys covered. Do they need to turn around and find the ball? Do they need to play through the hands?
I think it's a combination of both, but we have to do a better job. The one thing we can do at the corner spot, and Billy will be the first to tell you, and even the corners will be the first to tell you, we got to do a better job playing the ball when it's in the air. You know, I think they were very, very close, and they're right there to make a play, but when the ball's in the air, we got to make a play. You know, and there's times when your back is turned to the quarterback, you have to see the receiver, and when his hands go up, your hands got to go to his hands. But when you go back and look at the tape, it's not like guys are running clean down the field. It's we're very close, but that's the difference. You know, being close isn't good enough. We got to make a play when we're back there. So.
Okay.